Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Siobhan, thank you very much for that. Now, new research has found people in Ireland living with HIV are still stigmatised by many medical professionals, with more than three quarters of doctors, nurses and other healthcare workers reporting they've seen discrimination from their colleagues towards patients with infectious diseases. The report, published by the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland, is part of Project RISE, Redefining Institutional Stigma Education. Well, we're joined now by consultant in infectious diseases at Beaumont Hospital and senior lecturer at the RCSI, Dr. Owen de Barra, and by Michael O'Dea, who is living with HIV and is one of the leads on Project RISE. And you're both very welcome to the programme this evening. Owen, I might come to yourself first, and can you talk us through the report and the findings?
Yes, thanks very much, Sarah. And I guess maybe I'd let Michael talk a little bit about the findings, because this really was a project that was led by people from the community. So it's patients providing feedback to healthcare workers on their experience and their perceptions. So we needed the educational domain to run both ways. You know, we spent time educating patients, but we were looking for Michael to feedback, if I could pitch that over to him.
Sure, absolutely. So Michael, I'll come to yourself on that then. And perhaps before you talk to us a little bit about the project, you might tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been living with HIV?
I've been living with HIV for about 7 years now. I was diagnosed when I was 18 years old. So you can imagine it was a little bit of a difficult experience at the start, but I'm really glad that I've been able to turn that experience around now into something that can hopefully combat some of the stigma that is associated with this condition. Mm. And that's definitely something that we found within our report.
So, sorry, I meant to, before you tell me about the report, I'm interested to know, given that experience that you've had over the last 7 years, have you noticed, you know, on a wider sense, aside from medical professionals, have you noticed attitudes changing at all towards people with HIV?
I do think that there's been some major advancements around the public narrative around people living with HIV. I definitely think that there's been big leaps and strides in improving our relationship with stigma and decreasing it. But I think despite these major advancements and the public narrative, the stigma associated with the condition seemingly does persist, you know, and many people living with HIV still harbour shame about living with this manageable chronic condition. And unfortunately, that's only being reinforced by some healthcare professionals who are often unintentionally perpetuating false beliefs about HIV.
Okay, so then now you might tell us a little bit about the report and the findings of the report.
Yeah, so in the report that I developed with my colleagues, Dr. Amir Bakari and Ellen Conlon, and of course, Dr. DeBarra, who's joining us today, we found that more than three quarters of doctors, nurses and other healthcare professionals, including medical students, have seen discrimination from their colleagues towards patients living with HIV. Some examples of discrimination include the unnecessary use of PPE, such as double gloving, refusal to carry out surgical procedures, a reluctance to take blood samples, or even placing individuals last for procedures. And there's also consistent reports about stereotyping of people living with HIV as intravenous drug users and or as sexually promiscuous, or even the perpetuation of harmful ideas that only gay men can contract HIV.
And that is all within the medical profession.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's really doctors and nurses and healthcare professionals, they can either have the most positive impact on your life, as many do, or they can have a really negative impact on somebody.
And things like that, when you're talking about double gloving or, you know, being put to the end of the queue or being refused treatment or, you know, I think you said intravenous bloods or something like that. I can only imagine, Michael, that can cause an awful lot of shame for the patient.
Yeah, really what it does is it can reinforce some of that internalised stigma and make it more difficult for people living with HIV to advocate for themselves in these situations. I know stigma has definitely been a challenge in my own life. You know, being diagnosed at 18, the internalised stigma had a huge impact on me. And this was only compounded by some of those negative experiences that I had with healthcare professionals. Mm. In a time when only healthcare professionals knew about my HIV status. Some only further othered or isolated me with advice like, you know, once you tell people about your HIV status, you can never take it back. I kind of was unintentionally encouraged to deal with my diagnosis alone. Or on other occasions, you might be subjected to silly questions like, how did you get HIV? You know, the answer to which could be incredibly obvious or maybe even painful for some people to recount. And it's kind of questions like that can really focus on maybe what behavior led to acquiring HIV, potentially shifting the blame onto people who have HIV and reinforcing that stigma that we'd really like to avoid.
I bring in Dr. Owen DeBarra on all of that. And Owen, what did you make of those findings? Were you surprised?
I wasn't really surprised, and I suppose I see it amongst healthcare colleagues. You know, sometimes I have to advocate for my patients, just like Michael said, so that they do get on the surgical list or that they don't get managed in a different way. Because the key messages for this, if I have to get them out, is that U equals U. You know, undetectable means untransmittable, that the vast majority of patients living with HIV in Ireland are not a risk to transmit it to other people and shouldn't be managed any different. So maybe I take from this, I need to do more work on educating my colleagues in other areas. And that's what this project was about, is to develop a module that we can try to address that and offer people a way to update their knowledge and understand about how stigma affects people in any kind of infectious disease. You know, it's no accident that we talk about lepers and people being social lepers, and any kind of infectious disease tends to marginalize and stigmatize people. But through knowledge and education, we can hopefully approach that. And it's not just people living with HIV, it's the perceptions of people that might have it. And that impedes testing, it impedes, you know, engagement in care, and ultimately the well-being, rather than just numbers and viral suppression, it's the well-being that somebody experiences. So I wasn't surprised, but it does highlight more work to do. And that's what this is, that, you know, there's an online learning module, and we hope to, you know, open that up to more healthcare workers here and potentially broader afield to try to remove some of these barriers to care.
Yeah, it sounds like something that really should be mandatory for medical professionals to undergo, you know, to update their training and their knowledge around this.
Yeah, I guess there's so much mandatory training. I think you're right, but then there's so much to have. And I think my part on the team has sometimes been to try to say, well, this is great, but how do we make this distillable and obtainable? So, I mean, we'd be interested to engage with the HSE and sort of see what they think. And we've piloted it in the RCSI Medical School. And we'd love to see it become a model for how to educate people about stigmatizing behavior and about how that impacts patients' care.
Michael, can I ask you then, given the stigma that you're talking about there, do you know people or are you aware of people who have held back on perhaps going for testing or have held back on various bits of medical information because of that stigma?
I think most definitely. Like, I mean, there's obviously the research that indicates this, but then there's obviously the anecdotal evidence that you hear from my fellow people in my HIV, you know, being involved in the community. You do get to hear these things, and also from people who don't live with HIV, you know, as in these types of negative experiences, you know, it can often only take one negative experience to really impact somebody's relationship with healthcare and make it very difficult for them to interact with it going forwards.
I know, as I mentioned at the beginning, you're one of the leads on Project Rise. So in terms of what Dr. Owen DeBarra is talking about there, making more information and training available and online for medical staff, when do you hope that will happen and how would you like to see that play out?
Yeah, so like I think DeBarra really summed it up perfectly. You know, we created the RISE project to address that gap in knowledge, and it's uses HIV really as a case study. The goal of the RISE project is truly in this name, you know, redefining institutional stigma education. We wanted to change what it meant to teach clinical practitioners about HIV care, and this is totally community led in its approach. By centering the stories of people living with HIV, we're hoping to shift the narrative away from HIV care that just simply is about achieving an undetectable viral load, but really sees a holistic view that encompasses stigma. Now, we have released and launched this RISE module, and it's available for free to any healthcare professionals, or honestly, anybody who's interested in learning a little bit more about HIV. And an easy way to get access to that is on our Instagram page. Our Instagram page is RISE_IE.
Okay. And Oona, I might just come back to you, just something you mentioned there about how there's already so much mandatory training. And we know doctors and medical professionals, you know, they're to the pin of their collar, just trying to keep everything, the show on the road, generally. How do you overcome that then? Because it's great to have this information available. And I understand why you would say there might be a problem trying to make it mandatory because people have so many other things that they also need to do. So how do you overcome that to try and encourage people that this also needs to be another priority?
I think you make it relevant and you make it real and you make it obtainable. So, and we experienced this, I'm involved in other areas of mandatory training in regards to sepsis or, and I think if the content is good and it's real and it tells a story and people can relate it to what they're actually going to do in their work, then people will do it and engage with it. You know, healthcare workers want to do the right thing and they want to help. Mm. So it's about making the content good and making it available and real.
And just finally, to put this in context, what are the rates of HIV in Ireland at the moment? How does that picture look?
Yeah, it's worryingly high. So when we did the launch yesterday with Leo Varadkar, I reflected on when I was in SHO working alongside him back in about 18 years ago. And in that year, there was about 358 new diagnoses, whereas the last year on record is 2022, and there was over 800 new diagnoses. Now, not all of them are new within Ireland. Like, there are some people who are part of our, you know, economic migrants who may, HIV might be part of their story. But a significant number are new. And rather worryingly, about 45% of them are people who already have advanced HIV. Their immune system has been significantly weakened to it. And you're more likely to be a late diagnosis if you're female, if you're older, and you're heterosexual, because people don't perceive that as being, you know, the classic risk.
Yeah.
In fact, the sort of people who inject drugs used to represent about 20% of the new diagnosis. Now it's less than 5%. So it's not what people think.
So, and that's really interesting. What should people look out for then if, you know, they're concerned at all or need to go get tested? What should they be looking out for?
I think that's the hard bit, is that there isn't really a significant single thing with HIV. Like, most people will be asymptomatic for a number of years. So what we need to get to is to make testing easy and available. So if somebody asks for a test, a healthcare practitioner should offer it and follow through. There's also SH24. So we've got free discrete online testing available through the HSE. You get a home test kit and you get the results back discreetly and securely to you.
Okay.
And we need to normalize testing. Like, having a HIV test should be as normal as getting other screening tests. It's a good screening test and it should be made available to people.
Well, it's very interesting to speak to both of you, and thank you both for joining us this evening. That's Dr. Eoin De Barra and Michael O'Dea.